Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts 2 verse 1 on this Pentecost Sunday. Acts 2 verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Well, you know, I have to say that phrase has never hit me quite the same way like it has this year. See, we're at the conclusion of the 50 days of Easter. Can you imagine 50 days since Easter? And so far in this time, we've talked about being blessed, how God has blessed us through the words of the Beatitudes. Then we talked about faith at home. And we did that in 4 weeks where we talked about various texts, but especially we found our launch point from Joshua 24. And now we're on the very edge of the summer months themselves, and for this summer series, I'm going to call it the Summer Playlist. And by calling it the Summer Playlist, I simply mean that we're going to be looking at some familiar texts that give us a familiar comfort. A familiar comfort with a familiar Savior. These texts will allow us to gather when many things seem up for grabs. And these texts will cement certain truths of Jesus and his church, as it seems the whole world is changing. Familiar texts that we might be able to listen to time and time again, sing the songs of, know the truths of, the summer playlist. But all that being said, let's get back to Pentecost. See, with the arrival of the day of Pentecost, there is this looping back to Easter. And of course, with a looping back to Easter, we're also looping back to Jesus and his death and resurrection for us. Remember, Jesus said that it was going to go, that he was going to go so that the Spirit could fall on the church, thereby launching its ministry. And Jesus said that the church would go to the very ends of the earth. Jesus said that his message would have power, and that power would be given through the Spirit to proclaim that message. And so, wouldn't you know it, but as a first sign of the power of that message of God at work, the ends of the earth actually come to the church when the Spirit is given. And yes, verse 1 sets the stage for all this. After all, the dates and the times of these things were set by God's authority. And that should give us comfort. For even now, God is still omniscient, meaning he's all-knowing. He's still omnipresent, ever-present. He's still omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. In other words, like the old song says, he really does have the whole world in his hands. More locally, for the people of Jerusalem and the believers who had gathered, this is the celebration of the wheat harvest. It's the end of a season harvest celebration, which has now quickly become the beginning of a world harvest. And that makes sense because Pentecost is one of the three major festivals to which all the Jews were to make pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So the streets of Jerusalem are packed. I mean, wow, just imagine that picture for a moment, right? The streets of Jerusalem are packed. They are filled with all kinds of people from all kinds of places, all different kinds of backgrounds and problems and challenges and races and points of view and politics and educational backgrounds, just for instance. These are followers of God from every corner of the known world. And yet, even more locally than that, for the followers of Jesus that are talked about here, this could have been just the 12 disciples, or it could have been the entire group of believers that now amassed about 120 strong. And that comes from Acts 1:15. See, they were gathered in the temple precincts, where they were every day, and this is the calm before the storm. So, the players are assembled, the stage is set, and the world now watches. They were all gathered together in one place. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember at all what February 2020 was like? February 2020. I mean, it almost seems like years ago now, right? I mean, there's been this strange time warp involving gubernatorial addresses and closures and bad haircuts, in addition to our vocabulary with words like asymptomatic and social distancing that have crept in. Masks have become the norm, almost like a handkerchief or a hairnet. As has a flurry of hand-washing and dependence on blue screens. Many places are touched by tragedy. Boredom is mixed with a constant use of bedclothes. And personal rights have been laid aside or picketed for. Lately, sadly, we've seen lots of riots. For everybody, this is a pandemic. It's a new day. It's a new set of norms. It's a new normalcy. But for me, I just have to tell you, this phrase will never be the same for me again. They all gathered together in one place. And so important is this often overlooked phrase, in my opinion. I'd actually like to take some time today to break it down for us, whether we are physically here, because there's a few of us that are gathered together in this place, or whether we're online. So first, let me break this down. They were all gathered together in one place. Well, okay. Remember where we left off with the Pentecost account, do you remember? The stage was set, the world was watching, all was calm. And then the storm breaks loose. As a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came down from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting, tongues of fire descend, they separate and come to rest on each of them. See, this was obviously a public event. This wasn't a private mystical experience or an easily dismissible encounter. But the bigger problem presents itself in this question. Who's the they here in this verse? I mean, who's the they? Well, let's think about it. The they is obviously Peter. The three times denier who contemplated returning to fishing before he was three times reinstated, he'd been to the tomb and back, and now there was no looking back for him. The they was Thomas, who had doubted. And the they was the 12, well, 11, who had voted in Matthias after Judas's death. And they had seen the ascension. And they had heard of the Emmaus Road, and they had intensely reflected upon the last 3 years of their lives with Jesus. And remember, they could have been up to 120 people in whole by now, including all the followers of Christ, so whether it was just the 12, I'm not sure about that, or if it was up to 120, either way, they were huddled together in one place. They knew who Jesus was, not only by teaching, but by witnessing with their own eyes. His death and resurrection. They were tax collectors. They were fishermen, women of the night turned right. They were deniers, doubters, and debaters. Most clearly, they were sinners. Sinners made alive and forgiven by a Savior who came alive and forgives. That's why they gathered, all in one place. You know, they sound a whole lot like the Church of God today. See, they are us. We are they. We too are sinners made alive and forgiven by the same Savior who came alive and forgives. And no matter where we've come from, no matter what differences we have, no matter what opinions we hold, no matter what our backgrounds look like, they have become us. By repentance and by his work, Christ has saved us. I guess that's why we gather together in one place. Second, they were all gathered together in one place. They were all gathered. See, please understand, the central event of Pentecost is the fact that they were all filled by the Holy Spirit. All 12, or depending on how you see it, all 120, but all of them who were there. And yes, there was speaking in tongues, not glossolalia, like what we see in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, what Paul talks about there, but a speaking of the gospel, clearly in other languages. And yes, this is prophecy, in my opinion. For remember, prophecy is not just foretelling the future, but it's forthtelling. Prophecy is about making the word of God clear, okay, real for people in speech and in action. And yes, there was a conversion. It was powerful. Straightforward preaching that led to a repentance, that led to baptisms, that was mixed with mockery. Wait a minute. Mockery? Yeah, mockery. See, anytime people do incredible things in the name of God, after God, right, has done something incredible for us all, there's going to be mockery. And I love the way that Peter responds to the mockery in verse 15. He says, come on, guys. Come on, folks. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he addresses the crowd with authority. He speaks about Jesus. He speaks about the cross, the tomb, salvation, and the last days of escalation and how exclusive hope in Christ has arrived. And in his sermon, Peter says this, we all have access to this grace. All are welcomed to this party. Whether you are prodigal or elder brother, both alike, because all have sinned. All are called to the renewal of God-shaped lives. All have unique gifts that are given by the Spirit alone. And yes, now all are sent into the mission field to share this incredible message of Jesus. And guess what? That three little letter word there we've been talking about includes us. Wow. They were all gathered together in one place. Well, that brings us finally to number three. Third, they were all gathered together in one place. They were all gathered together in one place. We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. We didn't light it, but we're trying to fight it. Well, did you know that this song, We Didn't Start the Fire, which was written, but which was the song, great well-known song by Billy Joel, was actually written in response to somebody saying that it was much more difficult to grow up in the 80s than it was in the 1950s. See, when Billy Joel heard this certain person say that, Joel, who is a lifelong history buff, decided that he would write a song that in essence would say something like this, no, every season has its share of difficulties, and we're all in this together. And guess what? We are. Okay, sure, there is absolutely an escalation in history. Even the Bible talks about that, right? And we see that in everyday lives. But I can't think of a time when everything was completely quiet. When everything was completely safe, idyllic, and sin-free. Yes, it's different, in many ways worse today, but comparisons generally aren't helpful, for they can easily downplay or disregard past pain. Life, no matter when it is, has its share of troubles. And obviously, today is no different. And allow me some corrections on Billy Joel's political and implicit theological insights that he has in this song. First, we actually did start the fire. Well, not us, but it was our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great, etc., grandparents. And yes, we do often pour gasoline on it with our broken thoughts, words, and deeds. And we try to fight it, but we have little hope of making an appreciable difference before the flames engulf us too, unless we live and believe and work from the greater power of one who actually comes with a much purer flame. See, where the world's fires rage and ruin, God's holy fire enlivens and directs and empowers. And His holy fire, God's, is meant to wholly starve the oxygen from the world's inferno, thereby putting it out, by the light and by the life and by the love of Jesus Christ. Now, are you confused yet by my mixing of metaphors? Well, maybe me too a little bit. So let's make this explicit. That's what I love about Pentecost. The point of Pentecost is not fiery tongues. It is not ecstatic speech. It is not about masks. It's not about when will the church re-enter or not re-enter. It's not about hand-washing, personal rights, or public address announcements. Though some of these are very important indeed. Pentecost is not about biting fear. It's not about being a super apostle. It's not about becoming the next great tele-evangelist that has his humble roots in a Facebook live post. Rather, Pentecost is about being together in one place. Yes, someday we so look forward to doing that again. But really, being in one place is about being of the same mind, heart, and movement that receives the Spirit's daily work. And this place is where we realize that we're sinners. This place is a place that proclaims that the Father sent His only Son to die and rise again for sinners, just like us. This is a place that believes in the empowering, in the daily empowering of a Spirit to move and to purify and to shape, to empower and to fan into flame a mission that is meant to create uncommon people who take Jesus' cross of grace and peace to the very ends of the earth. Oh, how I long to one day say, welcome back physically into the building. But for now, let's just move forward because they were all gathered together in one place. And that's what's happening right now. May the grace of Jesus Christ, may the love of God our Father, and may the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.